Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. In my program last week, I addressed the wrong moral foundation of the Democrat Party and Kamala Harris and Walz, how leftists believe they have moral superiority over conservatives because of the diluting influence of building their morals and their policies upon human freedom rather than the moral law of God, what has historically been known as God's natural law. Now, freedom can be a virtue, but in the hierarchy of God's law, it's a virtue that is under and must be limited by the moral law of God. At the DNC convention this week, we're hearing all about freedom, but not a word about the higher, more important basis for morals, ethics, policies, and values, God's law, natural and written. And Christians and a Christian country are all about freedom. Think of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of bondage. However, in the same chapter, Paul goes on to explain that liberty is not a blank check. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. So therefore, the Christian view of liberty is liberty to do what's right, not liberty to do what's wrong. Liberty doesn't mean to steal, rape, and pillage. And so in the founding of America, it was understood that liberty is to be limited and controlled by the law of God. We have that famous hymn, America the Beautiful. America, America, God, mend thy every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. So notice how even in the past, there was a need to clarify and define liberty. But liberty in law sounds like a contradiction, because law will always contradict individual liberty. But it really doesn't conflict or contradict if we understand that any action that violates the moral law of God is not true liberty, but a form of bondage. As Jesus said in John chapter 8, the Jews said to Jesus, "We've never been in bondage to anyone." And Jesus replied, "He who commits sin is a slave of sin." So you think you're free? If you're committing sin, you're actually in a form of spiritual moral bondage. One cannot have true liberty while practicing sin, because sin itself is enslaving. The principle of sin mitigates against a mind and a soul that's truly at liberty. In sin, you can never truly be independent. You can never truly be free. You're in bondage to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So anyway, there is a biblical definition of liberty, and there is a secular humanist definition of freedom and liberty. Now, by the way, liberty is the Latin-French word. Freedom is the Anglo-Saxon English word, but they mean the exact same thing. And the difference between biblical liberty and humanistic liberty can be seen in the difference between the American Revolution and the French Revolution. The French Revolution was all about liberty, the Declaration of the Rights of Men, liberty, property, security, resistance to oppression. It all sounds good, but in practice, it was lawlessness, because it was freedom from religion, freedom from the church, freedom from God. The American Revolution emphasized political liberty, but under the rule of God, under his law, because God is above the state, not because man ought to be free from all authority. So Kamala Harris is making her campaign platform freedom. And we are constantly hearing her say, freedom, freedom, freedom. My presidency will be about freedom. And that's no surprise because, as I just pointed out, the left builds their morals and their policies on the foundation of human freedom, not the moral law of God. And now we're seeing their ideology on display in their campaign. But if anyone thinks about it for just 5 minutes, one understands that freedom is a terrible foundation for policy and ethics. It's the path to Sodom and Gomorrah. Time magazine did a piece on Kamala's campaign slogan entitled, "How Kamala Harris Took Freedom Back from the GOP, the Republicans." And believe it or not, Time magazine came out and admitted that Kamala Harris and the Democrats have a new and different definition for freedom. I need to read a couple of paragraphs here. Bear with me on this. This is worth the read. Quote, "Vice President Kamala Harris announced her campaign in an ad that would use the word freedom 4 times. She framed her message about the economy, gun violence, and abortion as freedom, not just to get by, but to get ahead. Freedom to be safe from gun violence and the freedom to make decisions about your body. For half a century, the word freedom has been mostly absent from the vocabulary of Democrat campaigns. The word and the concept, as well as its cognate, liberty, have been co-opted by Republicans since Ronald Reagan was a candidate for president. Freedom, Reagan said, is never more than one generation away from extinction. The Republicans did not just commandeer the word. They also changed the concept. They altered our sense of its meaning from a vision of equality to a more limited negative freedom, freedom from state power, from regulation, freedom from any obstacle put in the way of free enterprise. Harris is remaking the sense of freedom from the negative freedom of overcoming constraints to the positive freedom of self-realization and achievement," unquote. So notice this. Freedom is now defined as equality, self-realization, and achievement. As in DEI ideology, freedom to be you, to be your authentic self, to not be hindered by any of those laws from the past. Harris has said repeatedly, "Imagine what can be, unburdened by what has been." Which, by the way, if you understand what she means by this is a statement of rebellion against traditional American values and a vision to fundamentally remake America. Remember, Kamala's father was a Marxist professor. Well, the Time article goes on, but Vice President Harris, her revival of freedom was not something that came out of nowhere. Since the 1960s, Democrats grasped the idea of positive freedom as self-realization, the ability to fulfill one's potential without constraints. This had its public side in the civil rights movement, which was freedom to not be discriminated against, and the personal freedom to achieve one's potential. Joe Biden mentioned freedom 15 times in his 2024 State of the Union and said freedom and democracy 4 times. Obama used the word total 4 times in his final 3 State of the Unions. Harris is performing the same trick of combining the narrative of saving our democracy with protecting and enlarging upon our freedoms. That's a more inclusive message and a winning one. Listen for a more liberal use of the word and the idea of freedom this week at the Democrat convention, not just by the candidate, but by her surrogates. So do you understand what's going on here? The Democrats used to be reluctant to use the word freedom because people knew and mostly understood freedom as freedom from taxes, freedom from authoritarianism, freedom from big government. But the Democrats want big government. But now that freedom has successfully been redefined in the American mind as freedom from moral constraints, freedom to have an abortion, freedom to practice LGBTQ, freedom to choose your gender, the Democrats can now use the word freedom to promote their lawless and immoral policies. Since they believe now that much of the American public believes that freedom alone is a good foundation for national morals. And notice also the Time magazine makes the claim that the Republicans have changed the meaning of the word freedom, and that the Democrats are using the original meaning of the word. And this is the writer of the article, Richard Stengel's revisionist history, putting a spin on the truth. Our founding fathers did not believe freedom is the freedom to be equal with everyone else, as in some sort of Marxist egalitarianism. Our founders understood that freedom meant being able to be non-equal with others in regard to achievement. Now, in her campaign rally, Harris has gotten permission to use Beyonce's song, Freedom. It's being played constantly in the background at the DNC convention. Freedom, I can't move. Freedom, cut me loose. Singing, freedom, freedom, where are you? Because I need freedom too. I break chains all by myself. Won't let my freedom rot in hell. Freedom. And if we examine the lyrics of this song, it is the postmodern ideology of doing your own thing. The spirit of the age and rebellion to God's constraints. I mean, Satan himself could have sung that song during his original rebellion against God. It is Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth, the people taking their stand against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear God's chains apart and cast away his cords from us. Here's an article from MSNBC. Why Beyonce's Freedom is the perfect campaign song for Kamala Harris. And what reason does the article give? Because the song reflects Kamala Harris's goal of freedom to have an abortion and freedom to practice LGBTQ, T for transgenderism, Q for queer. So let's not be naive. The art reflects the heart. I suppose Harris could have chosen Aretha Franklin's song Freedom from the 1970s or Elton John's song Philadelphia Freedom. But the definition of freedom for Harris is Beyonce's I Break Chains All By Myself, Won't Let My Freedom Rot in Hell. So here's the larger point that Christians need to understand. In the last days, the rebellion against God will be a lawlessness sold under the values of personal freedom and liberty and even democracy. The will of the people rather than the will of God. Remember, the Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the prophecy, lawlessness is referred to three times. The man of lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, the lawless one. What's happening is that modern man is duped into believing morals are to be built upon personal human choice and freedom. That's what people love. Their autonomy from God, where what is right is being determined by what gives people the most autonomy to do what they want to do, where righteousness is now defined as self-affirmation, self-determination, and what affirms man's natural sinful desires. And of course, this means human choice comes above God's law. Now, if we're to evangelize other people and to share the gospel, we need to explain the situation. And we need to help people realize that coming to God means moving off of the wrong foundation of self as the basis for morals and deciding to build one's foundation upon God, his law, his authority. That's basically what it means to declare Jesus Christ as Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you confess Jesus as Lord, you shall be saved. This decision to change foundations is choosing to submit to a law outside of oneself, and submitting to a law that actually conflicts with one's natural sinful desires. But we're never going to win anyone to Christ and to his truth unless we address the wrong foundation upon which people are now building their ethics and their worldview. Proverbs 21:22. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. Psalm 11:3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer is nothing. There can be no personal conversion or national revival without people first having the proper moral foundation. Now, someone might say, shouldn't we just preach the cross of Christ? Well, biblically, there is something that needs to precede the presentation of the gospel. As in Galatians chapter 3, the law, the moral law of God, is our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. One must accept the righteousness of God, the authority of God and his law, before someone can be saved. Before receiving the good news of Christ, people must accept the bad news. People must realize that they're lost, that they've built their lives on the wrong foundation. And they must repent and they accept the authority of God and God's definition of righteousness. I used to always wonder what Luke chapter 1, verse 17 meant. Luke 1:17. It is he, the prophet John, who will go as a forerunner before him, the Messiah, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Why did the nation of Israel need some sort of preparation before the arrival of Jesus? And what exactly did that preparation entail? Well, the prophet John's ministry was a ministry of preaching repentance. And as we read in Luke 1:17, to bring the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. What's the attitude of the righteous? The word translated attitude is the Greek word phronesis, which has at its root the Greek word for the mind. So the verse is saying that the disobedient need to change their mindset to the mindset of the righteous. And what's that? A change in worldview, from truth being derived from self to truth coming from God. That we're to live by God's law, not what best gives us freedom. You know, I know quite a few Christian parents who have older children who are secular leftists, and they're, of course, grieved over the state of their children's souls and their politics. And they often find themselves debating with their children over the issues. But these parents need to realize that they're going to get nowhere until their children have a change of mind to the attitude of the righteous. So instead of arguing over political policies and issues, we must all instead calmly explain to the lost their wrong foundation for morals and why they think the way they think and what it means to change foundations and come over to God's authority. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition. Teaching what? Correcting them in what? So here's my challenge to you. To include in your witness an explanation of the two opposing worldviews, the two opposing foundations for right and wrong. And this may be a real eye-opener for the lost and may put the first crack in their armor. This may finally cause them to doubt their rightness. We need to explain these truths. Because this generation of young people coming out of state universities and public schools are being taught that righteousness and goodness and virtue is all about personal freedom. And that those who believe in traditional Christian morality, they are the oppressors. And we are even at a place politically that to bring any value into the public square that is based on a law from God is considered unfair and unjust. Everything has to be man-centered if it's to be just. And this is Satan's own philosophy that he has successfully propagated upon the world in these last days. And with this attitude, it's no wonder why there is no revival in America, because this is a people not prepared for the Lord. And it's no wonder that in the prophecies about the coming apocalypse, that the people in the world refuse to repent. In the Revelation, there's commentary after the seal judgments, and after the trumpet judgments, and after the bowl judgments, saying that the people refuse to repent. Most likely because there is, in the culture, an ideological barrier. A system of belief that leads people to value their freedoms above submission to God. Here's an example of the way young adults now think, and this is quite sad. A recent article in the Wall Street Journal entitled, "Abortion Rights Get Fresh Cash Infusion." The billionaire Bill Gates has a daughter, Phoebe Gates, age 21. And the article references a supermodel, Carly Kloss, age 32. And they're giving millions of dollars to support abortion rights. Quote, "Phoebe Gates recalls a moment 2 years ago that set her on a path to donate millions of dollars to abortion right groups. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, her mother, Melinda Gates, urged her to stay angry and then asked Phoebe what she's going to do about it. So after visiting some abortion clinics, she realized the effect an abortion ban was having upon women's freedom. Quote, "For me, having freedom to make decisions about your future really kind of transcends everything," said Gates, who graduated from college in June, unquote. So there you have it. There's that word freedom again. She's been totally convinced by the education system and the spirit of this age that your decisions, your personal freedoms, transcend everything. Probably no one has ever presented to her in college or anywhere else the other side, God's side, that God's law should be placed above us and that God's transcendent law is everything. And it doesn't matter what we think is good for us, God says what's good for us, protecting and cherishing life. Well, in this article, the model, Carly Kloss, also believes what Phoebe Gates believes and what is believed by millions of other young women. So Kloss has created the Gateway Coalition that has donated $3 million to support the murder of babies in the womb. Wendy Schmidt, the wife of the former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, has donated $10 million to state ballot initiatives to promote abortion. Connie Ballmer, wife of former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, has donated $2 million. And Phoebe Gates says that her foundation will give $200 million over the next 2 years to groups supporting abortion rights. Why are these women doing this? Because they truly believe that a woman's right to be free from a child should come above the right of the child to live. They put their own freedom above the moral law of God. And this is really why people love and support the Democrat Party and Kamala Harris. They're living on the same ideological foundation, and they want to promote it because they want it to be right. And this is the attitude in the world that will someday cause the world to embrace and worship the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness. One more example of how these people think. Kamala Harris had a racist Zoom call called White Women for Harris. There were 164,000 women on the call. The meeting broke the world record for the largest Zoom call and featured a host of celebrities presenting their ideology, which was a real eye-opener. You know, evangelicals aren't making this stuff up when they point out that the left is in the rebellion described in Psalm chapter 2. Well, the actress Connie Britton presented, and here is what she had to say concerning her philosophy of law and morals. Quote, "As women, we have to blow up our lives in order to truly know ourselves, empower ourselves, and free ourselves. This is because my life experience tells me that the structures of the culture are deeply defined for us, and we must behave within those confines of these structures. Of course, these structures were created by men to benefit them. So the only way we can break free from them is by literally blowing them up, which my life experience tells me often looks like bad behavior, but it is in fact an act of deep self-love. Well, that certainly defines the great apostasy. The law of nature and nature's God. The laws concerning gender and family are considered human constructs created to oppress people. The same old lie, same presented in the garden. You know, it even sounds like John Milton's Paradise Lost, where Satan says, "I'd rather reign in hell than be a slave in heaven." And notice she knows where this leads to what people have historically understood to be bad behavior, but it's right for her because she bases it on love for herself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, "In the last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." And with that, I conclude. If you don't get anything else from this program, understand how lawlessness and rebellion against God is being depicted in these last days as the virtue of freedom and liberty. But remember, God's salvation comes to those who choose to submit to God and build their foundation upon Christ. Psalm 45:7, which is quoted again in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, "The reason God the Father honors God the Son above all is because the Son loves righteousness and hates lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed him with the oil of gladness above all of your brethren." And if we are to be on God's side with Jesus, and if we are to find the approval of God, we too must love righteousness and hate lawlessness. Thanks for listening. Build your life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and may Jesus Christ reign.